I'd like to thank all participants for holding. All lines will be on listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. I'd also like to inform participants today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Tom Skinner. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you all for joining us today for the release of another CDC Vital Signs, this one on restraint use and motor vehicle occupant death rates among children age 0 to 12 years, United States, 2002 to 2011. With us today is the director of the CDC, Dr. Tom Frieden, as well as the team lead for CDC's Transportation Safety Team, Dr. Aaron Sauber-Schatz. Both will provide some opening remarks, and then we will move to your questions. So, Dr. Frieden.
Thank you very much for joining us today. This month, our Vital Signs report is on a very important topic of motor vehicle occupant deaths. Each month, we focus on one critical health issue in our monthly Vital Signs. We'll share information on trends of child passenger deaths over the past decade and what can be done to prevent these deaths because they are so tragic and so preventable. The broader picture is that we have made a lot of progress reducing motor vehicle fatalities in the U.S. over the past decade. Our roads have gotten safer, there are fewer people getting killed on the road, but still there are far too many deaths. The death rate in the U.S. is two or three times higher than the death rate in other countries from motor vehicle crashes. And if you look within the U.S., there's a large variation between different states and between different groups. And we'll be talking specifically today about kids and about some of the important differences among different groups of kids. The good news is that motor vehicle deaths decreased by 43% for children aged 12 and younger over the past 10 years. The tragic news is that still with that decrease, more than 9,000 kids were killed on the road in this period. Thousands of children are at risk on the road because they're not buckled up. In 2011, of the children killed in crashes, one in three was not buckled up. There are different factors that make a difference in terms of whether or not a child is buckled up. Of children who died in a crash, a much higher proportion of African American and Hispanic kids were not buckled compared to white kids. The difference was nearly half, 45-46%, versus a quarter, 26%. Older children were less likely to be buckled than younger children. These are troubling numbers, especially since so many of these deaths could have been prevented by buckling children in age and size appropriate child restraints, that is, car seats, booster seats, and seat belts on every trip. Now, using a car seat isn't always simple, and we have information in the Vital Signs to help parents and caregivers and people who want to educate the public on things that may seem tricky but are fairly straightforward. There are four different types of car seats, and we have them outlined, and Dr. Aaron Sauber-Schatz will discuss further. And in terms of making sure that your kid is buckled safely, there are resources in every community of certified child safety educators who can give hands-on information on how to buckle up and how to see if the car seat fits well. You can find that through safekids.org or other sites. Although we've made progress reducing the number of child passenger deaths, we can do more to keep our kids safe. There is really nothing more tragic for a parent than losing a child to something that could have been prevented. To share more about how these latest findings in child passenger safety can be prevented, I turn now to Dr. Aaron Sauber-Schatz.
Hello, I'm Aaron Sauber-Schatz, and that's spelled E-R-I-N, and my last name is S-A-U, B as in boy, E-R, hyphen, S-C-H-A-T-Z. And thank you, Dr. Frieden, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. As Dr. Frieden just pointed out, crash deaths have decreased significantly in the past decade. We are encouraged by this improvement, but still, more than 650 children, 12 and under, were killed in crashes in 2011. That's more than a dozen children every week. Buckling up is the best way to save lives and reduce injuries and deaths from crashes. But the fact remains that too many child passengers are riding unprotected, and more needs to be done to keep children safe on the road. Previous research shows that there are proven ways to get more children buckled up. For instance, programs that combine car seat distribution along with education have shown to increase car seat use. Also, child passenger restraint laws that increase the age for car seat or booster seat use result in getting more children buckled up. For example, car seat and booster seat use tripled among five states that increased the required age for car seat and booster seat use to 7 or 8 years, and deaths and serious injuries decreased by 17%. Yet only two states, Tennessee and Wyoming, have child passenger restraint laws requiring car seat and booster seat use for children age 8 and under. There are additional steps that can be taken to protect the lives of child passengers. In addition to improving state child passenger restraint laws, states and communities can increase the number of certified child passenger safety technicians available to the public. They can also partner with researchers to develop and evaluate programs that address racial and ethnic differences in getting children buckled up. Healthcare providers also play a role. They can keep up to date on child passenger safety issues, and they can counsel parents and caregivers at each well-child checkup to use age and size appropriate car seats, booster seats, and seat belts on every trip. They can also counsel parents and caregivers about the correct time to move a child to the next seat type or to a seat belt. Healthcare providers can also counsel patients of all ages about the importance and effectiveness of buckling up. Finally, while everyone plays a role in keeping our children safe and secure on the road, parents and caregivers are the first line of defense. Important steps they can take include knowing how to use car seats, booster seats, and seat belts, and using them on every single trip, no matter how short. Installing and using car seats and booster seats according to the seat's owner's manual, or getting help installing them from a certified child passenger safety technician. Parents and caregivers also should recognize that the safest way to buckle up changes as the child grows. Parents and caregivers should also buckle children age 12 and under in the back seat in an age and size appropriate car seat, booster seat, or seat belt.
Thank you very much. And the bottom line here is that motor vehicle crashes remain a leading cause of death for children in the U.S. There are crucial steps that need to be taken at every level to help protect the ones we love from car crashes. But the first step is a simple one, buckling up. Every child of every age on every trip. This simple act can save your child's life.
Okay, Brian, I believe we're ready for questions, please.
Sure. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1. Once again, star 1 to ask a question, and please hold for our first question. Maggie Fox, NBC News, your line is open.
Hi, thanks very much. I'd like to ask, to what do you attribute the 43% decrease in child deaths over that 10-year period? And can I also ask, all 50 states have some kind of child seat law, so what's the problem with the variation in the laws? Thanks.
So, although we did not look at the reasons for the 43% decrease in the last decade, we know that car seats have gotten safer, cars themselves have gotten safer, and there's also some evidence to suggest the economy contributed to this decrease.
Over the past decade, there has been a big increase in the use of graduated driver licenses. So we have fewer teenagers driving unsafely on the road, and that's made both their cars and the roads in general safer.
And to your question about the variation in the laws, yes, you're correct that all 50 states in the District of Columbia have a child passenger safety law. There are variations within the law, but the age is different throughout the states, and the states set those laws.
Thank you.
Next question.
Next question, Brian.
Mike Stobie, Associated Press, your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. A couple questions. One, I understand that from the National Safety Council that in 2012, deaths actually went up for all ages. I was wondering if they also went up for children. I know this report only covers 2011, but you may have access to the 2012 data. What happened to the trend in in 2012. And I was also wondering if you could take me back in time to before 2002. Was the trend also downward for children occupant deaths?
Okay, so
we'd have to get back to you about data for before 2002.
Right, and for 2002, we used the fatality analysis reporting system, which is NHTSA's database, and they just recently released the 2012 data set in January, so we actually haven't had a chance to essentially redo our analyses for the most recent year of data. But we do know that in 2011, over 650 children died due to motor vehicle crashes, and a third of those were not buckled.
And by the way, that 650, that's out of what, 32,367, or is it 22,000? What's the correct denominator? Because 22,000 was occupant, wasn't it?
That was everybody.
Right. So
okay.
I can get you the exact denominator data for that. The rates are in the MMWR, but that 650, that's for children 0 through 12.
So we can get back to you with more specifics right after the call.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mike, Courtney will follow up with you, okay?
Thank you.
Next question, Brian.
Jessica Bliss, Tennessee newspaper. Line is open.
Yes, thank you. You mentioned that Tennessee and Wyoming have laws that set them apart. Can you restate that and what makes them different? And also, does that mean that there are less child fatalities because of those laws in those states?
So we didn't look at fatalities by state in this report, but Tennessee has long been a leader in use of infant seats and in safety of children in cars. It's one of the two states in the country that has a requirement for booster seats up to age 8. Anything more to add?
No, I would just add that the good news and why we weren't able to look at state differences is that the number of child fatalities at the states is small, so we're not able to get accurate rates.
Next question, Brian.
Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. One moment.
While we're waiting for the next question, I'll just mention that one of the questions we often get is how to know when your child is old enough to no longer use a booster seat. And there's actually a very straightforward way. If you put a seat belt on the child with a shoulder belt and a lap belt when they're not in a booster seat, and it doesn't go over their upper thighs for the belt and over their chest for the shoulder belt, shoulder and chest, then it's not time for them to move on. So in other words, if when they don't use a booster seat, the lap belt goes over their stomach instead of their thighs or over their face instead of their shoulder, then it's not safe for them not to use a booster seat, and they should continue with the booster seat. There are simple ways to get help because it can be confusing to know when a child graduates from one type to another type and what type works best for the kid.
Any other questions, Brian?
Yes, next question from Barry Copeland, USA Today. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. I just wanted to, if you guys could talk a little bit about the reasons for the discrepancy or the difference between black and Hispanic and white children being buckled up.
Right. So we found that in 2009 and 2010 that 46% of Hispanic and 45% of black children who died in motor vehicle crashes were not buckled up. And this is compared with 26% of white children. We were not able to look at the reasons for not buckling up. However, we do know from previous research that socioeconomic status can play a role in whether or not a family has a car seat and buckles.
Are there any more questions?
Yes, Carrie Feibel, Houston Public Radio. Your line is open.
Yes, just following up with what Barry asked about, can you just spell that out a little bit more, the socioeconomics? Does that mean if a family can't afford a car seat, they're not going to get one and there's often no other way to get one?
So there can be difficulty paying for a car seat or an appropriately sized car seat, and we do encourage parents to check with community resources because there are some programs in many communities that will provide or subsidize or partially subsidize a car seat or a booster seat. This is one of the key areas.
Mm-hmm. And I would just add that families that do have financial limitations, that there are seats that they can buy that can be used for a longer period of time. So if they purchase a seat that has a higher height or weight limit, they can use the seat longer for their child. Or, for instance, a convertible car seat is what it's called. It can be used rear-facing as well as forward-facing, so it's really two seats in one. So there are some good recommendations for families that have financial limitations.
Any more questions, Brian?
Mike Stobie, Associated Press, your line is open.
Sorry, I'll take one more turn if you don't mind. I was wondering, in the 10 years of your analysis, was there any one state or particular states that consistently had a higher rate of child fatalities?
We actually did not look at the state differences. The numbers were too small to calculate rates with accuracy over time.
However, we have reported previously on rates of adult fatalities in different states, and the differences are quite striking. They're very large.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, Brian?
Jessica Bliss, Tennessee Newspaper, your line is open.
Thanks. My question was geared toward the economic barriers, and I think that's been addressed, so thank you.
This time I show no further questions.
Okay, well, I want to thank you all for joining us, and just to reiterate the bottom line here, motor vehicle crashes remain a leading cause of death for kids in the U.S. There are crucial steps that need to be taken at every level to help protect the ones we love from car crashes, but really the first step is buckling up. Every child of every age on every trip. It's a simple act that could save a life. So thank you very much for being with us and covering this.
Thank you all for joining us, and should you have any follow-up questions, feel free to call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude the call for today. You may disconnect your phone lines at this time.